Hello, everybody. This week on Unscripted Wrestling, we got a big one. WrestleMania 20, also some big news. Jericho and Steve Austin are going to be doing the Broken Skull sessions together. The Forbidden Door is being opened. Big news to talk about. Also, some Hall of Fame inductions to get into and a lot more this week on Unscripted Wrestling. All right, everybody, welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I can no longer be known as the only person that has an idea and doesn't execute it properly.
Yeah,
you're the host. Yeah. WrestleMania 20, I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. It's all good. It's fun. We're going to keep doing that. Also,
fucking up the intro?
Yeah, we're going to keep fucking up the intro. Doug might not even be on next week. Who knows? I'm here with a good friend of mine. Eric?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Stevie's here?
You got cut off.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Good.
Very good, very good. And Doug's here.
Hello.
So we got a lot to get into. WrestleMania 20, big stuff here. Why don't you do the plugs, Doug?
Want me to do the plugs?
Yeah, do the plugs and then get into the news a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right.
Give me some time.
Yeah, I got that. I'll buy you a few minutes of time.
All right. Make sure you listen to Box Fan and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday, Friday night, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. It can be found on all major podcast platforms. You're on usually around 10, 15, 10, 20-ish Eastern time, right after wrestling's over. You can find them. So they will be on tonight. All right, listen to us every Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Of course, tonight, WrestleMania 20. Next week, we will all be giving our top 10 favorite WrestleMania matches of all time. So we'll be doing another countdown. And, of course, we have a fan vote that we will be going to in 2 weeks. It'll be Daniel's choice because I believe he won fantasy wrestling. I still have to divvy up the points and come up with the final scores for the month of March. Unfortunately, I have been busy all week because Easter is a very busy time for me. And then, of course, we'll keep everybody else up to date as to what we what we'll be doing on the other weeks. We're still trying to figure that out because Peacock decided they didn't want to, upload everything off the WWE Network right away. So also, tomorrow night, we will be live 9 p.m. Eastern time here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. And it will be the return of Doug's history lesson. And the history lesson tomorrow night will be on the WWF/WWE toy line. So every, action figure that the WWE has produced, everybody that they've had business relationships with, the toy companies, basically stuff that, that's appropriate for 35-year-old men to be talking about. So we will be doing that tomorrow. I am very knowledgeable when it comes to, when it comes to the action figures, especially the earlier ones. So there will be a lot to get into. It's going to be a packed show tomorrow. Sunday, are you guys doing a scaredy cat?
Yeah, the Evil Bong.
Evil Bong?
Is that a whole movie of ours?
No.
It's we're starting our kind of our theme of doing, funny horror movies and
stupid horror movies.
Yeah.
So we're starting out with the Evil Bong.
Okay.
Gotcha. And Clint just joined us. Clint, welcome.
Thanks.
Hey, Clint. What up?
Not much.
Are you awesome,
Clint? Clint, are you working tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm working tomorrow night.
Okay. Because we are gonna do a show tomorrow. We're not doing seven in the spring, though. It's gonna be my history lesson.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. So now, this week's news. All right. So the big headline, Daniel brought it up earlier. The biggest headline this week is that the next guest of Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions has been revealed. And it is AEW's Chris Jericho. Daniel, how did this come
about? I mean, Jericho and Austin are friends. They've always been friends. And Tony Khan has made a point since he started this thing. And I said Tony Khan, right?
Yeah.
Tony Khan and even Cody Rhodes have made a point to say that they'd be down to work with him. They've said that they're down. They like it to be like kind of how territories were and trade the guy here and, you know, having kind of a business relationship, you know, having more friendliness in the wrestling environment instead of competitiveness. So this makes sense from their perspective. For Vince, it's a big leap and good for him. You can tell ratings.
I don't think he knows.
He knows.
It might have been an NBC calling me, honestly.
Well, yeah, but in the post, Jericho tagged WWE wrestling and said the forbidden door has been broken. So,
well, and plus, too, I think also with Jericho and Vince, I think, have always kind of, you know, maintained a decent relationship because Jericho didn't burn any bridges leaving. He just said, I would like to go do something else besides this.
Well, no one wants to compete. It's Vince that wants to compete with everybody else. AEW is fine just doing their own thing.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool. It'll cool the stories. I don't know what kind of questions Austin's going to ask. I'm sure a lot are going to be off limits, but Austin's not really an off limits type of guy. So we'll see what happens. I'll tune into it.
No, exactly.
I loved every Broken Skull session. So,
deal. When is this going to air? After WrestleMania?
No, I think it's going to be sometime in April, but I don't think it's going to be after Mania. Did they give an air date yet?
I heard WrestleMania weekend.
Oh. Okay.
When is it airing?
Probably that Sunday night after WrestleMania night, too.
That would make the most sense, I think.
Yeah.
All right. The funniest thing about this is that last year, Steve Austin, before the pandemic, actually filmed – well, because he actually films all these Broken Skull sessions, like, in one day for the majority of them.
Yeah.
He filmed a Broken Skull session that was going to air – he was going to have RVD on. RVD was still under contract with Impact. It never made air. So,
Impact let RVD come for Legends Night.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. Well, Don Callis is the dumbest fuck of all dumb fucks.
You just realizing that?
Yeah, man? He is.
That's like, it's bad enough we have to listen to Don Callis. Every time Kenny Omega steps into the ring, he's on commentary or AEW like he owns the place.
He ruined AEW for me.
I mean,
I don't have as much.
He is the biggest rash on the crotch of life. I mean, they need to put
muzzle,
a stab or something on that rash or whatever. Like they need to get rid of him.
How about our Hall of Fame inductees, William Shatner?
Speaking of RVD. RVD and William Shatner are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Nice.
And William Shatner, the reason why he's going in is because he monkey flipped Jerry the King Lawler back in 1995. And he also inducted King into the Hall of Fame in 2007. And then he was actually a guest host in 2010 for Monday Night Raw. And the only thing he really did as the guest host was basically talk the lyrics to certain songs.
Yeah.
Like, he really did that. That was, like, his only, like, on-camera thing. He didn't make matches. He didn't do anything. He was just, like, he did a couple of segments. That's it. Also, and Quinnith, you brought this up a couple days ago. Charlotte Flair was originally pulled from WrestleMania 37. Now, not because of COVID. Now, she ended up getting COVID after.
Yeah.
But she was originally pulled because a WWE doctor thought she was pregnant. No, she's not, because she took several home pregnancy tests.
And she's with Andrade still, right?
Yeah.
And he just left.
Yeah. Right.
So,
Andrade was the one that spilled the beans about it, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she took several home pregnancy tests. They all came back negative. So she called them and she goes, "I'm not pregnant." Well, we have test results that say otherwise. They're wrong. I took several home pregnancy tests. Not all of them are defective. So they tested. So then WWE doctors actually gave her a pregnancy test, and it came back negative. And then they realized they fucked up.
Yeah.
So they were actually going to add her to the Raw Women's Title match because they had to scrap plans because it was going to be Charlotte and Asuka. You know, big whoop. Then they pulled her.
I want to see that again.
They pulled her and put Rhea Ripley in because they're like, all right, Charlotte can't do anything. She's pregnant. But then turns out she's not pregnant. So they're like, all right, well, we'll, you know, still be Asuka and Charlotte. Then she got COVID. Now, I don't know. As far as I know, she's good. Like, she can come back.
But she's not doing the match. We're keeping Rhea.
I mean, they could always make it a triple threat.
Yeah.
But why? 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 You already have a triple threat.
I mean,
in the best match on the card.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then plus, this morning did announce, I think, Sasha Banks came out with it. It says she will main event night one at WrestleMania. Her and Belair. Our schedule as the main event.
I saw Lesnar Lashley and McIntyre.
Give it to the Divas. Give it to the Divas. Let Sasha have her moment in the sun. Let her main event at WrestleMania night one.
Technically, I'm fine with it too, but technically Bianca Belair won the Royal Rumble, right? And usually the winner of the Royal Rumble should get
That's what they said.
Yeah. So live up.
It's not always utilized, but
It hasn't been. Technically,
no, real.
It hasn't really been utilized a lot.
Sometimes it's the opening match.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Sasha and Bianca closing the show night one.
Yeah.
Because that's on a Saturday.
That'd be awesome.
Actually watch it.
They're two incredibly great athletic, you know, women.
Yeah.
This storyline they're doing is fantastic. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited for it, too. And I really like Sasha's kind of, like, I know she's babyface, but she's kind of like both.
The heelish baby face.
Yeah, and she plays it really well.
They said that she was turning heel.
She reminds me of like a female Rock from back in the day, I guess.
She's
got career too.
Here's the thing with Sasha. Is that, like, I don't know if she's baby face or heel, right? I think she's just kind of in between. And I do kind of like that. I think she's a better heel than she is babyface. Because, to be honest with you,
She seems... She's good at everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Her and Alexa are the two girls that I can hate them and I can root for them too. Like, whatever they want to do, I'm on board for.
Yeah.
Her and Alexa, two of the primus. You can put them in any spot, any position, and they'll make it work.
Also, next Friday night on SmackDown, they're doing like a very special like WrestleMania edition of SmackDown.
Yeah.
So two matches that technically could be on the WrestleMania card but are not going to be.
Yeah.
Are going to be part of SmackDown next week.
We should.
They're going to do the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Really?
Yeah. And it's going to be Rude and Ziggler finally defending the tag team titles against the Mysterios, the Alpha Academy, and the Street Profits.
Cool.
So... we can look forward to that. And that's pretty much all I got. All
right. Well, let's get into it. WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
Or do we have Superstars of the Week?
I can technically...
I'm going to go Ciampa.
Yeah, I really didn't watch wrestling this week. I've been working on chocolate all week. I mean,
yeah,
I
didn't really watch wrestling either.
I can say just from what I've
seen...
I'm
going to go Ciampa.
From what I've seen, I'm actually going to say I'm going to say Best Friends, because of I saw the highlights from that Arcade Anarchy match.
Yeah.
And it was better than it probably should have been.
I'm going to go Jericho, because I like that brawl with the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle.
Yeah.
What about you, Quinter?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Best Friends still. Arcade Anarchy was much better than I expected. I actually thought it was going to be like a shoot type of thing.
Yeah, it was good. I heard it was really good.
It was. I mean, and then Trent came back, and I don't know if Chris Statlander is going to be associated with them or not.
That would be pretty cool.
Stevie, you got a wrestler of the week?
How about you, Stevie?
For AEW?
It's just in general.
Or just in general.
I would say Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I mean, that brawl was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting to watch.
What do you guys think about people making fun of AEW and calling them all factions wrestling? Because I've been seeing that going around a lot, that AEW...
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Big groups.
See,
I like
the
first
factions.
WCW did the same. So did the WWE in 97.
You do have a lot of groups, though. You got the Elite. Well, is the Elite still a thing?
I think it's more...
Well, technically, Kenny Omega actually split up the so-called, you know, Elite type of thing. You want to do it that way.
Okay. But you get the
totally done. Yeah, you get the point. And then again, I think the Pinnacle was formed to replace the Elite.
Yeah. So I guess make Inner Circle the baby faces, which is kind of weird.
I cannot root for Jake Hager.
Here's what I think is why the Pinnacle was formed. I think it's just set up. Because remember that whole double steel case that got canceled in there, and they said they was going to bring it back to AEW once fans were able to come back. I know AEW plans on going back on the road in August, and I think around that time is when they wanted to have that match again, but they need another faction to feud with the Inner Circle, which brought back the Pinnacle. That's at least where they're going their separate ways. So I think they're trying to do
Dark
a build-up.
Dark Order's not big enough to do it.
Huh?
Dark Order's not big enough to really be part of it.
Yeah.
Well, Dark Order to me it's starting to feel like a lot of jobbers type of thing.
Yeah, now they're like
and
baby.
They're really... The babyface jobbers, and I'm not really feeling it.
I like Hangman.
They turned babyface after Brody died.
Well, they had to. I mean, how could you not?
All right, you want to get out of wrestling, buddy?
Yeah, we can.
The main event of this match, I wouldn't call the three guys in it role models, but WrestleMania 20.
Oh, to be honest with you,
yeah.
Personally, at one time, all three of them were the biggest pieces of trash on the face of the earth.
On very different times, too, though. But
I mean, one still is, obviously.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels.
Do you really think Shawn Michaels is trash, though?
No, I'm talking about Benoit.
Oh, I mean, he did anything.
No, here's the thing. Shawn Michaels in the 90s was the most horrible person on the face of the planet.
Admittedly, too.
All right?
Yeah. I'll admit that, and I'm a Shawn Michaels fan.
All right, and it's mainly, you know, due to his, you know, bad attitude. He had a horrible attitude. Triple H, I don't think he was the most horrible person on the face of the planet, but he was very selfish in what he wanted to do. He wanted, but, and Dan and I were talking about this today. I think it was more, he didn't want guys from other companies coming in and taking spots.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like if you look at the people that he didn't work with or didn't want to work with, and when he worked with them, the matches sucked. Scott Steiner, he did not like RVD. He's even, like, it's known that he didn't like RVD. He didn't get it. He didn't get the popularity. I mean, Booker T, he did a lot of shitty things to his career. All he had to do was job to him at WrestleMania 19. He couldn't even do that.
Yeah, but Booker has remained loyal to the company. I mean, Booker has tried.
Until he went to TNA.
Well, he went to TNA, but then he came back, and Booker's done nothing but kiss their ass. I mean, even, you know, Big Show and Christian, two guys that are friends of Booker's. Booker talked trash about him when they went to AEW, because that's what Booker is supposed to, or not what he's supposed to do, but that's what he feels like he's supposed to do, because he's a WWE guy.
But, I mean, that's just the way it goes. WrestleMania 20, well, let's get some background here, because this is kind of the pinnacle of the Ruthless Aggression era. This is one of my favorite WrestleManias of all time, and a lot of good
mine
stuff
too.
Here. We have a buy rate of over a million. We have 20,000 in attendance. It's where it all begins again. We're in Madison Square Garden, one of the most infamous arenas of all time, and it's March 14th, 2004. A lot's going on. There's a lot of background that we could probably all give. There's a lot of things to the show. The rise of John Cena a little bit here. Obviously,
he was over.
Benoit. Yeah, he was. It was kind of fun watching Cena get cheered.
Yeah, I know, right? He was one of the most over people on that event.
That's true.
Well, the Doctor of Thunder Mom is everybody loved. And that's what I think that's why everybody loved John Cena. I love the Doctor of Thunder Mom.
Oh, yeah.
It's when he started, I think once he became faces and they started forcing us down the throats when everybody started to hate him.
I agree.
And Absolutely.
Let's start with this match, obviously. Stevie, do you think that this match kind of emulates Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant in a different way?
Yes, I would say yeah. In a different way, it emulates that kind of a match. I would agree.
Doug, what would you
agree to that new point?
Okay, so this match to me, not necessarily like a classic match, but the match was, you know, they wanted to put a title on Cena. And, you know, Big Show was the perfect guy because, you know, Big Show at that point was, you know, used to try to get a lot of the newer baby faces over. And, Big Show and Cena, I think, have always had, like, a good relationship.
Yeah.
So
they have good chemistry, that's for sure. I mean, I thought it was a good match. I mean, I'll tell you, like, this pay-per-view to me, this kind of brings back fond memories, because when this pay-per-view was going to happen, like, I had no idea up until, like, 3 days before it happened that we were ordering it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found out we were sitting at the dinner table, you and I. Of course, you were just, you know, not baby Dahama, but, you know, a little second-grader Dahama. Well, you're first, second grade. Anyway, we're sitting at the dinner table, and Mom goes, oh, yeah, isn't there a pay-per-view this weekend? Or I said something. I'm like, yeah, WrestleMania 20 this weekend. It's going to be kind of cool. She goes, oh, yeah, we're ordering it.
Eh?
What the hell are you talking about?
Aw. It's so cute.
She goes, yeah, we're going
to fucking patronize us.
I think Clint is the one laughing.
Eric said, aw.
No, Clint did that.
Oh, I think it was cute.
So, you know, we found out we were ordering it, and mine and Daniel's grandfather actually paid for it. Like, he's the one that called and said, we need to watch this. So he's like, you know, we're ordering it. Like, that's that.
Yeah, good taste. John Cena, Big Show. It was a bunch of things. Obviously, it's the rise of Cena. Big Show's just there to take the fall. Big Show was not in good shape at this point.
No. He was over 500 pounds.
He looks very unhealthy and kind of sloppy. Like, he looks a lot better now, which is good for him. But back then, he moved athletically somewhat, but you can tell he wasn't at his prime anymore.
I mean, just walk into the ring. Go ahead, Steve. Or go ahead, whoever's trying to talk.
Oof. You could tell he was, like, very slow during the match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, like, he's one of those guys that, like, you know, during the Royal Rumble, like, he didn't need to run to the ring. Like, you know, just walk to the ring or whatever, because you're a giant. You don't have to run. I remember one time he actually did run to the ring for a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And Grandpa goes, hey, here comes Tiny Tim.
This was the start of John Cena's upright.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, absolutely. Clint, what's your thoughts on this one as an opener?
I mean, we had a good rivalry. I mean, this is the John Cena that I wish that they would have brought back now, which we all know is never going to happen because he refused to do it. But, yeah, trash-talking Cena, and he always back-talked what he said, backed up what he said. That's the John Cena I loved and fell in love with.
Exactly. And the crowd made this match. They made this match better than it was.
Oh, for sure, yeah. The crowd participation. This was one of the most over matches.
Yeah, it will be. And again, because it was the opener of the show.
Well, yeah,
remember, this is the first WrestleMania to actually go 4.5 hours, by the way.
And it's also one of the last in an arena, right?
No, the last in the arena was 22.
So it is one of the last in the arena.
One of these.
Okay. And then they...
I want him to go back to MSG. He should.
It's a legendary arena. But not all openers pop. But that crowd was hot.
Yeah.
And I thought it was decent. Let's give some ratings. What do you think?
I'll give it
a
8. Go ahead, Clint. Sorry.
I thought you said Eric. That's fine. Go ahead, Eric. I don't care.
I'll give it a 7 because of the crowd. And it was a decent match.
Alrighty, Clintus, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a 9.
Ooh, was that good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, I'll give it a 9.
Alrighty. Doug, what are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay. Stevie, what do you think?
I'm gonna have to go with an 8.
Absolutely. I think I'd probably give it a 7. I thought it was a really good opener, but for what it was, I really enjoyed it. But I give it like a high 7.
Yeah, I did too.
And it was nice seeing it
gold.
Yeah. It's funny because like 2 years before this, they wanted to get rid of Cena, right? Like he was not working out. The whole
The ruthless aggression deal, but the rapper thing kind of saved him.
Oh, it did save him. All from Stephanie McMahon hearing him freestyle on a plane.
Yeah.
And it
was it a plane or a bus?
It was something like that, but it made his whole...
No, it was a plane.
I heard it was a plane ride.
It was a plane ride, because he said he knew he was going to get cut or fired that one day until she heard on breath and he says, okay, I want you to do this on television the next week.
Yeah, he used to freestyle all people referee Jimmy Corderas.
Jimmy Corderas puts in some work on this pay-per-view, too. He's the luckiest man on this pay-per-view. That is him, right?
No, that was Jack Dome.
Jack Dome.
God bless him, too.
God bless Jack. All right, moving on. One of our two Fatal 4-Way tag matches, which for a company that really did not have the tag team division, especially because it was split in two, so you kind of had shallow tag team divisions. It felt a weird route. Lenneth, what do you think about these Fatal 4-Way tag matches at WrestleMania? Because there was two of them. You think it was a little overstuffed?
I enjoyed it. It might have been overstuffed from the Raw side. SmackDown, I think, had a better tag team division than Raw. Well, SmackDown, yeah. Raw was just copying SmackDown.
Okay, so here's the thing, and this is... It gets back to the point of, and I said this a couple weeks ago. When it came to WrestleMania, and they did this more often than not, they tried to, and they do it a lot now today, too. They try to get everybody on the WrestleMania card. So that's why they overstuff the shows. Okay.
If you take that theory, yeah, you feel like you do that in nearly every big pay-per-view now.
Well, I mean, you're right, though, Doug. They have done that for, I mean, like the Andre Battle Royals and all these things. And, like, you've had a lot of unnecessary, like, team-up matches. Like the one where they had Randy, Big Show, and Sheamus. Or is that a wrong lineup? I don't know. But they do bring...
When they took on the Shield, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like you do have, like, this mixed match sometimes where they want just to put as many guys out there as possible.
Well, because everybody wants it. WrestleMania is supposed to be your biggest payday of the year.
Yeah. In a moment. So they try to get everybody on the card. Do you think that's a detriment to the show? Or do you think it's a good thing to try to get everybody out there?
Well, let's put it this way. If you look at how they're doing now, the two nights, it's not detrimental because you have two nights. You can probably fit whatever you do, like 2.5 nights, SmackDown being like a pre-show at WrestleMania.
I agree, but this is the showcase of the Immortals, though. Does everyone need to be on the show? Do you need mid-carders and low guys just to be on there?
No, but you want
everybody. Not everybody needs to be in a show. No.
Because you don't know who's going to come on here, who's going to have a star-making performance.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It's just, WrestleMania is like the Super Bowl. Do we need Mark Jindrak and Lance Kane? I mean, RIP Lance Kane, or Garrison Kane, but do we need, like, La Resistance and stuff? I mean, well, I guess La Resistance. Okay. But, I mean, it was just some food for thought because I have felt like they've done that with a lot of WrestleManias. And it might be a good thing to get everybody out there, give them a moment.
Yeah, get them a payday.
It kind of seems like giving them a participation award, though.
Yeah, but again, it's to make sure everybody gets a payday, and I also think they are also evaluating talent.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, they are a company. Like, they can pay them if they want to, just because they're not on WrestleMania. They really want to help them out. They can still pay them.
Well, there was a mentality back in, like, the, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, but now,
back before the guaranteed contract.
Now everybody has contracts, so it's not like you have to make a date, usually. So, I mean, usually you do, but a lot have going rates now, or what they're going to get a year. So, basically, everybody's working set.
Well, yeah, there's salaries.
Booker T and Van Dam, you're walking in here champions, right?
Yeah.
Both 10 matches we have.
Odd team.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Odd, but, I mean, I like them together. Too short. They beat the only probably accomplished legendary tag team in this match, the Dudley Boys. Then you got Garrison Cade and Mark Jindrak, two blue chippers, as JR would say. And La Resistance, Rene Dupree and Rob Conway. Clintus, I'm going to swing this back to you. What were your thoughts on this match?
For what it was, knowing it, to me, I think at this time, I thought Raw really did have the weaker of the two tag divisions between the two shows. So it was okay. For what it was, RVD and Booker T, I'm watching for the first time. I really thought, I almost forgot. I didn't even realize they retained the titles. I was like, oh, they're going to give it to the Dudley Boys again. But
yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, I first saw the show, I actually thought La Resistance were getting the belts back.
They were getting pushed heavy around that time, right?
Well, not even necessarily they were getting heavy, but they had a match with RVD and Booker T on TV, and there was, like, a controversial ending or whatever. The wrong guy got pinned.
Yeah.
Which happened all the time, but if they wanted to make a storyline out of it, they would point it out. So I actually thought they were going to win the title.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, but...
Sure. Eric, what are your thoughts on this one?
I thought it was decent for what it was. I mean, it wasn't a classic. It wasn't anything special, but it was decent.
Stevie, who are you rooting for, Dudley Boys or Booker T and Van Dam?
I was actually rooting for the Dudley Boys, believe it or not. But I thought the entire match was boring, so I wasn't too happy with it. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you something, Doug. Do you think that the Dudley Boys had the same relevance in the Ruthless Aggression era that they had the Attitude era and days at ECW? Or do you think they were kind of falling off at this point, especially since they kind of broke up and got back together after Reverend Devon didn't work at a Bubba's failed single run?
I think they were still trying to hold on to something. I mean, I think they reinvented themselves when they went, you know, elsewhere. And, you know, also in that elsewhere, Bubba had the run that he should have had.
Yeah. Well, because he didn't even really get a baby. I mean, they put him with Spike, right?
Well, no, they had him run.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, kind of aligned
with
Spike.
They put him with Spike.
He did have kind of a singles run.
Yeah.
But again, it was one of those, you know, they put him with Triple H. You know, they had him work a couple of things with Triple H and Flair. And, you know, because he's not a homegrown.
Then. All right, let's give this ratings. Clintus, we'll start with you.
I'm going to give it a 5.
All right, Doug?
I'm going to give it a 5 as well.
All right, Stevie?
I would probably give it a 5. That's my honest opinion.
Yes, sir. Eric?
I'm going to give it 4.
All right. I'm probably going to give it a 5. go with the majority. It was mediocre at best. Nothing special, but I guess a good way to give Booker T and Van Damme a pop. Kind of beneath the Dudley Boys, but that's okay. It was decent filler for this show. Now, the next match, actually one of my favorite matches on this card. This was the one opportunity that Christian really got to shine, besides going to TNA and then coming back and doing everything he did. But in this Ruthless Aggression era, this is where he showed himself. And you got the match with him against Jericho. Obviously, he wins, and we have the big betrayal from Trish. Clint, do you remember the first time you saw it? How do you feel about Trish turning on Jericho?
It broke my heart.
I had money on him. I was like, yo, I knew Jericho was going to win that bet. I loved the storyline. I loved everything about it, and she just broke my heart. But then again, Trish is really sexy once he plays heel. I got to admit that. Trish to heel is just a big turn-on for some strange reason.
It kind of makes sense. They're both from Toronto.
They're all Canadian, right?
Yeah, but Jericho's from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
That really did break my heart.
I have to agree with the Sergeant Murtaugh of Sergeant Riggs, the Lethal Weapon reference, by the way.
Thank
you. It broke my heart, too. Like, when I first saw this, I was just, because I was a huge Trish fan, right? And I saw him turn on her, and I was just like, that is not right. Like, this should not be happening. But, you know, you knew something was going to happen because Trish dressed like extra, like, you know, hot that night. Like,
yeah.
Her, say money bag or fun bags. Her fun bags were popping out of that jacket she was wearing.
Yeah, I mean.
And I love it.
Yeah, and what?
Jesus Christ, PG.
I said every guy liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I wanted her to put a jacket on. It looked cold in there.
Oh, hush up.
Nah, man.
You're going to get fired from your own show.
Nah, I love Trish. Do we all like the betrayal, though, like his fans, even though it sucks, like it was sad? I mean, good storytelling, right? Yeah, because it
gave her a
new definition of character. Yeah, and it, honestly, the heel run she went on after that was very good. Her and Christian weren't aligned for long. Do you think that ended too soon, Doug?
Had he not gotten hurt, they would have continued to go.
Yeah.
Because remember, he ended up on the shelf with a back injury.
Yeah.
And then when he came back, like, they had no reason for the two of them to continue to be together. Like, it was her, him, and Tomko.
Yeah.
And Tomko was just Tomko. I think once she got lost her women's title, I think there was no point of having Tomko with either of them.
Well, no, she didn't lose the women's title with Tomko. It was just more... Tomko was basically brought in to be Christian's problem solver.
And you follow him to TNA, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's not in WWE. I mean, not AEW.
Tomko sucked. Well, he was okay.
He could work when he wanted to.
Yeah, and he had a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All tattooed and goateed.
I have a question for you guys.
What's your question?
Do you think we get to see Christian and Jericho work together in AEW?
I'd almost guarantee it. They'll probably go the tag team.
Okay. Yeah.
They could probably work as a single another two. But yeah, I think the whole team.
Because
I can almost see... Christian aligning with Jericho to go against the Pinnacle.
But do you really want to see, like, old tag teams that you even team up again? It's a the question.
I mean, they're like that.
I'd want to see those two in a match once. I wouldn't want to see them go on a run. But I'd watch them team up
And that's really what I meant. You get your whole soul, you're saying, well, if they ever go to a company, and then you see it, and then you when you just think back of what like what WCW did, ECW, with how they try to recycle and recreate old feuds, and they wind up being, on paper it sounds good, but turn out awful.
Well, and to his point, I mean, Christian and Jericho are getting up there in age. You know, Jericho's 50, Christian's like 46, 47.
They can both still work.
Yeah, but, I mean, age isn't going to help them.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jericho still puts on pretty good performances for even the body of you.
Yeah.
And Christian...
Jericho's body's worse than mine. No.
And Christian, from what I've seen, in the Rumble at least, he can still go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd rather watch him do something new. I don't think he'll be wrestling that long. I give this run about a year or two max, and then he retires and becomes a commentator or something.
Which I'm against.
Me either. I'm glad he went there, but because WWE's never valued him enough.
No, without, because they look at it as, they need Edge if they're going to have Christian.
Yeah, but it's not the case. He's amazing without him.
Yeah.
Well, Edge was having his amazing run at WWE. Christian was having his amazing run at TNA.
Here's the thing. While Edge was having sex with Lita live on television, Christian
was having sex with AJ Styles on live.
No, Christian was beating Jeff Jarrett for the NWA World Heavyweight title. Okay, and which, by the way, I think beating somebody for an NWA world title is a lot bigger of an accomplishment than plowing Lita on television.
Well, anything is better than
which, by the way, the way Lita tells the story, she didn't want to do it. But Vince said, you're
neither one want to do it.
Well, of course, she's...
Neither one of them wanted to do it.
He's a rated R superstar. And I don't know, beating Jeff Jarrett or clapping Lita, that's a hard one, to be honest. A lot of people have beaten Jeff Jarrett. Except TNA, like, 2002 through 6. But besides that...
Yeah, everybody beats Jeff Jarrett, but then they have to job back to him 2 days later.
Yeah.
Or at least Rhino did.
So let's give this match some ratings then. What do you think, Doug?
I'm gonna give it a 9.
Linda?
I'll give it a 9.
Stevie?
I would give it a 9.
I'm gonna give it a 9 as well, and Eric?
9.
All right, 9's all around. Obviously, we all enjoy Christian versus Chris Jericho. Now, let's move on to possibly the most star-studded match on this card, and maybe in WrestleMania history. I don't know if I go that far. But if you think about this upcoming match, you don't know it at the time, but looking at it now, everybody in this match is Hall of Fame worthy. Everyone in this match is a legend. You got Evolution, Batista, Randy Orton, and Ric Flair. Going against the Rock and Sock Connection, Mick Foley and The Rock. Eric, what were your thoughts on this one?
I thought it was it was a good storyline featuring 5 Hall of Famers. I think, one is a Hall of Famer already. The others are going to be a Hall of Famers. Is it Mick a Hall of Famer too?
Well, Mick Foley and Ric Flair are Hall
of
Famers. Easton could be a Hall of Famer, but he's not going to make the ceremony next week because there was a prior commitment.
Yeah. He was supposed to be last year. But
yeah.
Because of COVID. But, yeah. I liked it. It was a good... all 5 guys had good chemistry together. Good, well-storied match.
I like the story, the beautiful story. One of my favorite rivalries of all time, Ric Flair, or not Ric Flair, Randy Orton and Mick Foley. This is not the match, though, that's the pinnacle of that rivalry. You're going to have to tune in to the next month and that hardcore match at Backlash with Randy and Mick. That's still one of my favorite matches of all time.
And here's the thing. Randy Orton said it a few weeks ago on Birkenfeld Sessions. Without Mick Foley, there's no Randy Orton. He goes, especially that Backlash match, he goes, that Backlash match made me.
Yeah.
Or made him.
It did.
Not me, but.
It did make him.
Yeah. He goes, had Mick Foley not done that for me, I wouldn't be here.
True. Very true. And
very true.
This match is a little, I don't want to say underwhelming. Because, I mean, it goes 17 minutes. Like, give it its length. It's a good match. All guys, you know, you get to see Ric Flair and The Rock in there.
Rock, here's the thing. Rock seemed a little out of shape almost.
Really?
I mean, he fucking...
He looked a little flabby.
Yeah, or not out of shape, but, like, the endurance wasn't there. Like, he hit a couple of moves on Flair and then couldn't capitalize. And, like, he had to go for a tag run. But, like, I think it was either a DDT or it was something.
Yeah.
And then he's just rolling around. And I was like, no, make the cover, you dumbass. You've only been in the ring for a minute. How the fuck can you be?
Yeah, the ref didn't look like he was
with it already.
His promo was amazing, though, before. He got everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he knows how to talk.
Yeah. I even liked Orton's promo about the stairs and how he's going to destroy Mick Foley and all that. A lot of the story here is really good. I think maybe the wrong people went over.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Legend has it that Mick Foley went to his good friend Stone Cold after this match. And he said, well, what did you think? And Stone Cold wasn't a big fan of it.
Well, and also, too, Austin was just about on his way out.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to be on the road anymore. He didn't like the position he had because, and also, too, he was getting upset because he couldn't be in the ring.
Yeah.
So he was just like, you know, I appreciate being in front of a live crowd, but, you know, if I'm not wrestling, I don't want to be here.
How do you blame him?
I don't blame him.
You really can't blame him.
We praised Macho Man for the same thing a couple weeks ago. So
yeah,
there's nothing inherently wrong with that. When a lot of guys want to stick around the business forever, that's great. But it is cool that there's some of them that it's like, if I can't do this, I just want to be away.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a subsidiary role. I don't want to be a manager. I just want to go.
I mean, the guys, and we're not bashing the guys that are okay with doing the.
Manager role, the Ric Flair today. Is that what John called it?
No, I've got something against him still being on WWE television.
He needs the fact that he's like, I mean, I don't want to say it, but he's very, very old. Like, he's not really there anymore. It's kind of a disservice to him that they're making him go on TV still. I know that he's doing it for money probably, but Ric Flair, I mean, I don't want to say it's time, but he has trouble talking.
Do you think it's WWE telling him he has to do this, or do you think, which I actually think, this is all his idea?
I think it's all his idea.
Vince has to okay it, though. Vince could say, no, you're not in the position anymore, pal. And he hasn't mind saying that to a lot of other people.
Yeah, but... him saying that to Flair would be hypocritical.
How much Charlotte? Charlotte should tell him. Would
you
listen to his daughter?
They're not going to stop having Rick come on because there's always a little rating spike whenever he does.
What rating spike, man? I turn the TV off every time I see that guy come down with his daughter.
All right, so... Plymouth and I are the only two people that turn off their TV every time that sack of balls comes on.
are the only
ones.
Sure, he has his other detractors, but, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. Look at the stats. He does numbers. He's always been able to draw. He's 90 years old and still able to draw. And your Roman Reigns and your big stars don't do that. That's why
the storyline was banging someone in the locker room half his age. He's going to sit there and claim she got he got her pregnant. They can't. Come on.
Yeah. Man. Well, first of all, that whole storyline was stupid.
That storyline was stupid, but it's the same reason they bring Goldberg back to win a title every
year. And Lacey Evans knew. I think Lacey Evans knew that storyline was stupid. Actually, no. When she got pregnant, well, first of all, she found out she was pregnant mid-storyline.
Yeah.
But they weren't doing anything with her. That's why her and her husband were trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And then when WWE said, oh, you're going to do the storyline, you're going to be, Ric Flair's going to be putting it in. And, I mean, you can't turn.
They dropped that anyway, right?
They had to.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't turn down a role on television if you still want to work there.
Yeah. Let's get back to WrestleMania. What are we going to rate this match?
I would give it a 6.
Remember?
Yeah, 6.
Eric,
I'll give it a 6.
All right, Stevie?
I would give it a 6.
All right, I'm going to give it a 6.5. Now, moving on to the technical masterpiece of this card. You know, just 4 incredibly gifted, skilled wrestlers. Tori Wilson and Sable against Miss Jackie and Stacey Keibler in a Playboy evening.
Are you saying technical?
Yes.
I skipped this match.
What the fuck? What? Why?
Because I was
I can give you one reason why you just get this match. When you hear Taz, when you hear Michael Cole says, Taz, I'm glad you won the coin toss so we have a right to call this match and not the King and JR so I can hear puppies all night long. That's when you know the match is going to be trash. When one commentary team is dishing the other one because they can't call a match.
This was not.
I was trying to rush through watching the Mania.
Okay, so you
I think I have a...
So you fast forward through the one match that could finally prove that you're straight.
Oh, dude, come on. I didn't think you were going there.
See, I at least gave you a leeway, Eric. You just kept going.
All 4 of these women.
It's not like I haven't seen it before. I've seen it before. I was just rushing today.
Yeah, don't backtrack. It's okay.
I'm just kidding.
No, I haven't.
I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I know.
Stuck in hell to 1:30. And then we have a show at 6:30, and this fucking thing's 4.5 hours. So I get what he's saying, and I get why. I'm still going to criticize him for it, but...
All right, let's just give things and move on so we don't get canceled.
Although, I will say, you know, this match, in the words of Jerry Lawler, was a real slobber knocker. I provided the slobber, they provided the knockers.
Doug's favorite line.
Okay.
Jerry Lawler actually came on the show. If you guys wouldn't have fast forward to it,
you did say that. Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson, if they're looking for a husband and they happen to listen to this show,
they probably were listening till about 10 minutes, or actually till about like 45 seconds ago.
I'm good on Sable.
I love you, Stacey.
F5.
Well,
yeah,
Corey Wilson just got married last year, still there.
Well, no, Stacey married another. Stacey's no longer with George Clooney. She's with somebody else.
That's fine.
And I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm pretty sure we could beat up Charlie Haas.
Maybe not Brock. Wait, if Tori married any of her on-screen guys, like Tajiri.
Remember when she was with Tajiri?
Yeah.
Was she with Renee, too, for a little bit? No. She wasn't with Renee? That's funny. All right, let's give it a rating. Quinter?
I'll give it a 3.
All right.
I give it a no rating.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 1.
All right. Sexist, Doug?
I keep it. You know what? I'll be kind. I'll give it a 4.
Like a dick, because I'm going 9.5.
I would give it a 4.
Are you just giving it a 9.5 because you saw Sable just take a gown off right before the match? Is that why?
Well, the pre-segment gets a 10. I'm giving the match a 9.5. That part gets a 10.
Oh.
Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson were at their finest here. They were good. What they were supposed to do, they were supposed to be young, beautiful women that shook what their mommy gave them, and that's what they did, and they did it well.
Look, the fact that you're giving this a 9.5 is, being that unlike the rest of us, you're not part of the Nathan Lane fan club. So, therefore, I applaud you. Although, actually,
I just keep
going because I was going to say something else, but
the women a 10. I give the match a 1.
We get it. You don't want to piss off your wrestling nerds. I don't want to piss off.
You should be worried about pissing off women. Although I'm not. So.
I enjoyed the match. I thought it was a nice little.
It was only 2 minutes and 41 seconds. It was as long as it needed to be. You needed to have the women out there, because they're all very gorgeous. All four of them, very gorgeous women. Even Sable, who was hitting 35, I think, at the time.
And Sable and Tori Wilson were actually doing, good ratings at the time. And they were very over just going out there together. So now that we got that technical match.
Bathroom break. Match.
Oh, my God, Eric. Huge. Actually, he's the opposite of a pig.
Mike drop.
He's going feminist on us.
I mean... Here's the thing. So for all the women that listen to this show that get pissed off at me on a weekly basis, which, by the way, the mail's coming in.
No, I mean, Eric's probably in the right because he wants real female wrestling and not just showing off women's bodies. And I respect that opinion, but all right. The Cruiserweight Classic. Chavo Guerrero with Chavo Classic going against Akio, which that's Jimmy Wang, right?
Jimmy Wang Yang. Yeah, him.
Billy Kidman, Funaki, Jamie Noble, Nunzio, Rey Mysterio, Shannon Moore, Tajiri, and Ultimo Dragon. Something very different on this card. 11 minutes, so it's not too long, not too short. Kenneth, what are your thoughts on this one?
I was sorry for what it was. I mean, it was a good in-and-out match, let's put it that way. Hard to follow because watching it, I was just totally not into it this time around, and I was probably when it first came out.
Yeah,
but it was okay.
I'll say about it is I think it gave guys like Ultimo Dragon and Billy Kidman a chance to shine on WrestleMania where else they probably wouldn't have.
Right.
So I enjoyed that, and even Jamie Noble, and it was cool seeing Rey Mysterio dress as the Flash.
Right. You realize
Jamie Noble was awesome.
The first couple of years that Ray was at WrestleMania, every time he dressed as a big character, WrestleMania 19, he dressed as Daredevil and he lost. Yeah. WrestleMania 20, he dressed as The Flash and lost. WrestleMania 21, he didn't dress as anybody and he won.
WWE doesn't like cosplay. Stevie, what'd you think of this one?
It wasn't really interesting to watch. I mean, I really didn't like the match in general, so I thought it was disappointing.
All right, I'm going to ask Clint this question. I think this is a good one. You got this division, you got the WCW division and you got the current WWE division. Which division is the best cruiserweight action you can watch?
Man, I mean, it's kind of hard because I would say I like WCW's division better because they utilize it more. This was more like a, I realize if you looked at the WWE division when they first came out with, it was more like a, okay, I want to say everybody who's not females, because I realize Raw had a lot of the divas, then SmackDown, we're going to have the Cruiserweights fill in with the women SmackDown Raw didn't have. That's what I felt like WWE did with their Cruiserweight division.
That's fair. It's very fair.
Did you have any big thoughts on this, Doug, or you want to give it a rating?
I mean, I would give it – I'd give it a 5. I mean, I did like it, you know, parts of it. The whole Chavo Guerrero Sr., Chavo Guerrero Jr. thing, I mean, I guess they were trying to, you know, push Chavo. But Chavo Sr. to me just – I was never a huge Chavo Guerrero Sr. fan.
Yeah, I mean, they were good heels together, but that's about it. How about how cringy was watching that shooting star press that Billy Kidman did off the top rope? He almost broke his fucking neck. That was hard to watch. Like one of those scary botch moments. It's like, oh my God, he could get paralyzed.
Yeah,
pretty much.
There were some good highlights in this match.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it was a decent match. I kind of enjoyed it. I enjoyed the highlights of Damien Noble and Billy Kidman. They did what they could for an 11-minute match.
They have really good chemistry.
Together, yeah.
Noble
yeah.
and Kidman, yeah.
I
think the wrong guys went over.
Or the three guys I really liked in this. Because to me, Ultimo didn't do anything in WWE besides this, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was in WWE.
Yep. He was there for a little bit, a spell.
I'll give you the 5.5.
Okay, Quintus?
I'll give it a 5.
Stevie?
I would give it a 4.
I'm going to give it a 6, because I thought it was decent action. It actually kept me interested. I mean, there was a couple duds. Even Nunzio kind of running around, I thought was cool. And Funaki getting eliminated so quick. There was a couple modes here I liked. Now, rewatching
it. I thought Ray should have won.
Yeah, Ray should have won. But they had to keep building Chavo, I guess. Now, watching this, hey, Doug, we rewatched it, right?
Yeah.
Only match I fell asleep for. I fell asleep for like 15 minutes and woke back up. And it's Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar, number one. Obviously, they come out, they have another feud.
This number one took a number two.
Yeah, this sucked. The crowd hated it because they knew they were both going to leave. So they booed the shit out of them. They were not into it. Austin looked pissed. This thing sucked. What do you think, Doug?
All right, so here's the deal. Goldberg was unhappy with his role in the WWE, and he was so unhappy that they actually took him off television like the month prior. So Goldberg was not around whatsoever to build this thing. They had to leave it to Austin and Brock to build it. And Goldberg knew he was going to leave because he was disappointed with the whole title run he got. But that's what happens when, talked about it earlier, Triple H was working with guys he really didn't want to work with, that he didn't trust, that he didn't like.
Yeah.
And the whole Brock thing was Brock wanted to be a professional football player. And the funny thing is that, like, and this has always been, like, a thing with Brock. Brock has kind of, kind of taking shortcuts to get to places. Like in the NFL, you know, a lot of guys, they have drafted, they have to play college football.
They have to then get drafted to the NFL to make a team and all that, you know, and get signed. Brock figured, oh, I'm a huge WWE star. I could go play football. Brock had no football experience in high school or college whatsoever. He happened to be a football fan. And he figured, he goes, well, I live in Minnesota. Or he didn't even live in Minnesota, I don't think, at the time, or he may have. He goes, I'm from Minnesota. I'm a huge name there. I'll get in. So he went to go play professional football for the Minnesota Vikings, who sucked at that time, by the way, and who cut him before
the season started.
Yeah. I mean, in this match, when you have guys in this match that don't give a fuck and that are getting ready to leave, do you really think they're going to put their best foot forward and be like, oh, yeah, you know, this is, you know, we're getting ready to leave, so we got to put our best performance on that we possibly can. No, it's, we fucking hate this. We don't want to be here anymore. Let's just stink the joint out. They're not going to miss us anyway.
Exactly.
We have Stone Cold Steve Austin, who's just like, I fucking hate these two assholes. You know, Austin didn't even want to be there.
Yeah, you could tell in his face.
Neither did the audience.
I think the only two that actually wanted to be there were the two guys calling the match, and that's JR and King.
Right. Yeah.
So here's a question for you, man. Compare that match compared to probably the one they did at Survivor Series and then the one at WrestleMania. Because to tell you the truth, they all were duds.
No. That last WrestleMania match was good. I liked that. That was the only thing I really...
Goldberg smeared him three times, and then he, like, jumps into an F5, and bam, match over.
See, that worked for me. I enjoyed that one. The Survivor Series was too short, obviously, but I thought that WrestleMania match was actually pretty good.
All right, so this match here at this WrestleMania was 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And it dragged.
Yeah.
Especially when you spend 6 minutes in a collar and elbow tie-up.
Well, WWE didn't understand Goldberg back then. They wanted him to come out of his shell and do 15-minute matches. That's not going to happen. Can't do it.
No.
He's a powerhouse.
Well, I think.
And he makes money being a powerhouse. He's had to be a powerhouse.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do 15-minute matches. All right, you gave it a 1. Clintus, what are you giving it?
I'll give it a 1.
All right, Stevie?
I would probably give it a 1.
Eric?
I'll give it a 3 because the crowd was the best thing in this match. But I'll give it a 3.
A 3? Man, what is wrong with you?
The crowd was the best thing in this match.
But the crowd didn't yell me.
Yeah, they were just assholes. They didn't even cheer. They just booed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'll give it a 2.
Okay. I'm giving
it to Eric. Go home.
Sorry, Eric. Yeah, but this
no worries.
Is glad to have an opinion. He didn't like how the women were being exploited, and we said he was president of the Nathan Lane Band.
Oh, I know you said that.
Yeah.
We.
Get the fuck out of here. All right, we all go
can't
down.
We can agree.
I'd like to once, every once in a while.
Yeah.
Rikishi and Scotty Tuhati go against the APA, the Bashams, and the world's greatest tag team. Kenneth, I'm going to throw it to you first because you noted earlier that you like SmackDown's division way better. I agree with you. What did you think of this match?
I think it was much better than the Raw side. Go on. In a way, I was hoping the APA would have came out on top of this one. But I'm glad Rikishi, too cool. It was just more established tag teams. I think SmackDown have more everybody kept everybody who wanted to be a tag team on the SmackDown brand of things. Instead of just piecing out random guys and making their own like Raw did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, it was not long, but, I mean, they got a lot of action in. And, you know, Bradshaw got to hit the clothesline from hell, which was always a big pop. But then, you know, he got knocked down by Rikishi, and Rikishi just went over and sat on whatever Basham it was.
Charlie Haas had to take the stink face here.
Oh, my.
Poor Charlie.
Charlie Haas didn't get over the way Shelton Benjamin got over, and it's a shame because Charlie was a hell of a worker.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he wasn't really a good promo.
Not until he got to ROH.
Yeah, when he got to ROH, and I don't know if anybody else knows it. I know you know it because I told you this earlier. When he got the Ring of Honor and, like, they split up the World's Greatest Tag Team and he was going to do a single run on his own and all that, and he was supposed to work with Shelton, they screwed him over on money. So instead of the match they wanted, which was Shelton versus Charlie, because they were screwing him over on money, he retired. He went on Twitter and said, I'm retiring. There's going to be no match versus Shelton at the whatever show it is. Sorry, but this is what's best for me. It was 2 days before the show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Stevie, do you think the right team won?
My honest opinion, I would say no. I don't think the right team won.
I'll say no too.
Yeah, because I think the wrong team won. That's just my opinion.
All right, well, then who should have won?
So who were in the match?
The APA, the Basham Brothers, the World's Greatest Tag Team.
And Rikishi.
I would say the APA should have won the match. That's the team that should have won.
That's fair. I mean, I think
World's Greatest Tag Team should have won.
He couldn't have been the APA. APA couldn't have won the match because JBL went on his heel run, like, later that week.
Yeah. World's Greatest Tag Team made sense, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in the spotlight. Well,
they didn't win because they were going
to
move Shelton over to Raw.
Basham Brothers were a good heel team.
Basham Brothers is the Sunika.
Okay, so it was either going to be the Basham Brothers or Rikishi and Scotty.
But not thinking long. Thinking here, I mean, Rikishi and Scotty Tuhati were probably the least well. Well, I don't know. They were in too cool for so long. But
I mean, they were friends.
Yeah. But the others feel like legitimate tag teams.
Yeah. Well, the World's Greatest Tag Team was the most legitimate tag team there.
APA?
They were legitimately tough.
Give it a rating. Eric?
6.5.
I'm hitting him again. I'm going to call back.
Okay. Quintus?
I'll give it a 6.
All right. I'm going to give it a 6 as well. I thought this was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It was good tag team action. Like you said, it was short, Doug, but I thought it was good for what it was. Now, moving on to match number 9 on this card, I believe.
Number 9.
Victoria Molly Holly in a hair versus title match. Eric, I'm going to go to you. What did you think of this women's outing?
I thought it was all right. I thought it was pretty decent. The storyline was all right. Not my favorite. Not my cup of tea, but it was all right.
You know, all the women that performed on this show are gonna file a lawsuit against you.
Stevie, what do you think of Victoria?
Hey, I praise Trish Stratus.
I thought the match was fine. Neither character was that over, so the crowd was quiet for most of it. It's not a decisive finish at all, though.
Okay, so to that point, you know, to his point, yeah, they weren't really into it, but you got to remember, show started at 7, right?
Yeah.
For most cable systems, this show was scheduled to go 7 to midnight.
Wow.
By the time this match took place, it was 9:30. I think. So it's about 2.5 hours in.
Yeah.
And you still have three other matches that everybody's waiting to get to.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
So you're already getting tired. Because there were points like the Brock and Goldberg match really took it out of people. Like, everybody was ready to go home after that match.
Well, the match after this brings it
back. It should have just made by the first match.
Yeah. So, people are just tired.
Way too tired.
And, I mean, like, there was a couple of things that, like, she cut that hair for way too fucking long. Like, they went to commercial, came back, and she's still cutting the hair. Molly's bald. Another thing, I don't think Molly sold it well enough. She freaked out a little bit, but, I mean, if you had a good, like, actor in there, they could have made it a real WrestleMania moment that we still talk about.
And plus you had that dumbass barber.
When it looked like Molly wanted to cut Victoria's hair, he plugged in the... So you're telling me this fucking moron is not paying attention to a damn thing. Molly says, plug in the clippers so I can cut her hair. He's plugging them in. JR's like, no, that's not the girl that's supposed to get her hair cut. Don't plug him in. And also, another thing about the barber is he was dancing somebody's music or whatever. He was dancing to Molly's music. He was kind of moving it or whatever.
It was funny when Kirk came out and she's still cutting her hair, and Kirk kind of looks at her like, all right, it's my time.
Yeah. Fuck out. Segment's over. Get the fuck out of here.
Let's give it a rating. But if what are you rating this?
I want to give it a 5. Not my cup of tea, but all right.
I'm going to give it a 5.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Sexist pig.
Steve?
I would give it a 5.
I'm going to give it a 5 as well. I thought it was a nice little moment for those two girls. I didn't mind Victoria as a baby face there, but she's a better heel. And Holly deserves the Hall of Fame induction. I thought she was a great women's wrestler. Now let's move on to the best match on the card. Maybe one of the best WrestleMania matches in history. Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero. Storyline going into this, pretty much, I mean, well, Kurt kind of made the Chavo thing happen, right? He was even plotting on that, wasn't he? So this does go far a little bit.
If you, like, actually, like, pay attention,
yeah.
Or, like, paying attention back then, which I was actually starting to kind of figure out. Like, it makes so much sense that that Kurt got involved in the Guerrero family business.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, the whole thing is that Eddie was a champion, or Eddie was WWE champion. He beat Brock Lesnar for the title. Kurt Angle felt like, you know what, I'm a better man than Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, he made fun of Eddie for being a drug addict, said he didn't deserve anything. Kurt was a drug addict from 2006 to 2012. Actually, 2013.
Yeah, but Perk Angle had some damn good matches.
Well, yeah.
He was phenomenal. But this match was inventive. It was new, the whole boot thing and the roll-up, and he truly lied, cheated, and stealed this one. Eddie Guerrero at his finest. Clint, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I love the match. I think it was one of my favorite Kurt Angle WrestleMania matches of all time.
Yep. Classic.
I mean, yeah.
That's all I have to say.
I mean, and I'm interested to see, like, when we do our countdown next week. I mean, I'm not expecting all of us to have it in our countdown, but it's got to show up in somebody's.
Yeah, for sure. Stevie, what are your thoughts on this one?
I liked it. It would have been nice to see Guerrero go on the offense a bit more than what he did, because it really came off like Guerrero wasn't doing much in the match.
Yeah, but he still won.
Cheated to win. Cheated to win.
I mean, that's his whole gimmick, though.
Yeah. But you made it seem like he was just one clean. He didn't cleanly beat Angle.
Get it?
No.
And that's what made it cool, too, because Angle's sitting there like, such a great seller. It's such a great actor. When he's sitting there with the boot in his hand, it's like, you son of a bitch! It's like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
And Eddie's just sitting there, ah, leave it alone outside.
Yeah.
Like, nini. And he's just grabbing the belt. And it's like, I don't know. It was just, this was epic. This was awesome. I put this in front of the main event, even though I love the main event,
you
too.
You know, one of the things, one of the kind of highlights for me was that, like, and it was actually funny because, you know, back in the days, and this kind of ties into, you know, the subject for tomorrow night's history lesson, right? But Little Dahama actually had a Kurt Angle figure and an Eddie Guerrero figure. Now, we were trying to get you to go to bed around this time when this was going on, but it was not happening. Like, you did not want to go to bed. You had your Kurt Angle figure, you had your Eddie Guerrero figure, and you were going along with the match.
Hell yeah. I was a booker
from the early age. And you were cute back then, so.
What's Charles saying now?
You used to be cute.
Are you saying he's not cute now?
Oh, no, he's adorable.
Eric Clinton just made that joke.
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
What would we rate this? I'm going 10.
A 10.
Yeah, I'll give it 10.
Okay.
I would say 10.
All right, I'll go.
No, no, you can't. Your vote's locked in. Doug gave it a 9. The rest of us gave it a 10. I mean, this is a master class.
I'm prejudiced against bald people.
Makes sense. Great wrestling match. Let's move on. The story of Kane and The Undertaker. Do you think there was a little bit of a disconnect on this one, or were you into this one, Clinton?
I think it was a little bit of a disconnect on this one, because you're just trying, to me, it was trying to recreate something that happened nearly, what, 6 years ago? With the whole, oh, Undertaker,
yeah.
I will never fight you. This time, Undertaker coming back from the... leaving the rest of American Badass and coming back as the dead man persona. So, yeah.
It didn't have that feel to it.
I mean, the entrance, yeah, but the match itself, it wasn't what it should have been.
Match is overwhelming.
Overwhelming or underwhelming?
Oh, under.
Yeah, I'd say it's
about... It wasn't what I expected.
Yeah, I mean...
I expected better.
They've had better matches.
They've had better matches, but this was more about Undertaker coming back as the dead man.
Yeah, but Kane was also on such a good streak, too. It really didn't do anybody much good. And then Undertaker goes on to feud with Heidenreich later that year and shit.
Well, Undertaker was just going to start being brought back as a special attraction. That was like the main thing.
But he was a part of the roster on SmackDown pretty frequently.
Well, yeah, because that was the original intention, but then he's like, he had no problem working that schedule. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that... I'm not 100% sure, but, like, a lot of him working, you know, more and more. If he could get like a few weeks off after Mania, he would be okay with that. But I think he was working more and more because I think around like 2005, 2006, that's when he started having issues at home. Because it was actually a, you know, a couple of years later, you know, he divorced his wife, Sarah, which had to fucking hurt, especially where it is.
Yeah, right on the fucking head.
Yeah.
He's a badass.
And, you know, getting the tattoo removed and then, you know, in 2010, because right after he divorced Sarah, he started dating Michelle McCool. And, you know, obviously, it still works out to this day. 14 years later, they're still together.
Yep. Stevie, what would you rate this match?
Well, I would probably give it a 7 because it wasn't a very good match. So I'd rate it a 7.
Okay. Still kind of high, but Doug?
I'd give it a 5.
All right. Clint?
I'll give it a 4.
Eric?
I'm going to give Clint a 4. I was disappointed.
I'm going to give it a 6 because I know it's nowhere near the opening storyline that they had, but I don't think this is one of their worst matches either. Like that shit they did in 2010, 2011 was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The Hell in a Cell and the Buried Alive. So this was okay for what it was. It was a nice way to bring the Undertaker back. Kind of buried Kane during his pinnacle. So that sucks, but it is what it is. I'm moving on to the main event. Creme de la creme. The reason we're all, you got a young underdog named Chris Benoit. I think he, people act like he doesn't exist now, but we are a real wrestling show that covers, you know, we have to separate the art from the reality like we said in the past. We cover wrestling, so we're not going to act like this did not happen because this match obviously happened. We're going to talk about it. Chris Benoit, Triple H, Shawn Michaels in a very excellent triple threat match. It's still one of the coolest WrestleMania moments of Benoit and Eddie at the end, you know, hugging, crying with the confetti flying around. And even the moment of Benoit making Triple H tap. With all that being said.
That was classic.
I thought it was a really good match. And again, I've said before, like, my judgment of Benoit the performer isn't really clouded by what Benoit the man did.
That's fine.
Okay. But, like, I mean, it just, it clouds my judgment of Benoit the human being, obviously.
Understood.
But Benoit the performer is still one of the best, you know, was still one of the best wrestlers there. And this was a really good match. And it's just, it's one of those things that, you know, he deserves it, but unfortunately, because he had a lapse in judgment. You know, they're not going to talk about this match. Well, WWE is not going to talk about this match anymore, as far as WWE is concerned, and rightfully so. WWE is kind of doing the right thing here because they don't want to be looked at, you know, in a bad light. You know, as far as WWE is concerned, this match never happened. Now, obviously, Triple H knows it's happened. Shawn Michaels knew it happened because they were in there. But unfortunately, even though WWE kind of ignores this match, which they have the right to do so.
Yeah, you can't blame him. Obviously, after what he did, you're not going to put him on promotional cups. And obviously, you're going to act like the dude
doesn't exist. So WWE, as a company that was publicly traded, they are absolutely in the right. And trust me, I don't like to defend them. But, no, they were in the right here. I mean, and it sucks that, you know, this match gets treated like shit. Because it would be in a lot of people's top tens.
What's better, this or the Backlash match?
This one.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I like the Backlash better.
I like tapping Sean out with the fucking
sharpshooter in Montreal.
Yeah, that was
awesome. It was Montreal. It was Edmonton.
It was still tapping Shawn out with the sharpshooter in Canada.
Yeah,
like that was,
and that was, and Shawn actually thought he was a hook.
Yeah, he thought that would be a good.
That was Shawn's idea, and Shawn, I mean, I was the sharpshooter. Maybe everybody in Canada will.
But they didn't.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't know if anybody really knew this or not, but this actually did, of course, piss Bret Hart off that it was the sharpshooter. He's like, oh, he's trying to pander to the crowd, you know, all that, you know, because Bret was obviously still on the outs with the company, even though they kept trying to call him and say, hey, do you want to do this? Hey, do you want to do that? Well, no, it's against everything I stand for. You the baby.
Clintus, what did you think
of
this?
Well, obviously, they put that everything behind them. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love the match. I think great storytelling from, like, start beginning with the whole Shawn Michaels trying to get revenge on Triple H robbery, and then adding the fact that Benoit jumped ship from SmackDown to Raw to challenge for the World Heavyweight title. I think the all around storytelling was excellent.
I agree with that.
What would you rate this one, Clintus?
I mean, I think between that and the angle, and Guerrero, I'll rate it a top 10. One of my top 10s. I'll give it a 10.
Doug?
I give it a 10.
Eric?
I gave it a 9.75.
And what Steve,
kind of rating is this?
A 9.75?
I'll give it a 10.
That's right.
All right. Let's move on, Eric. You give it a 10, Stevie?
Yeah, I would give it a 10. I wouldn't go that low.
I think Eric is going back and wants to renegotiate his contract.
He's trying to heal this.
Or he's trying to, he's trying to find.
I'm being the heel tonight.
Yeah, we're in the middle of an Eric heel.
I'm being the heel tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give it a 10 too. This was a great, amazing match. Once you get rid of the stigma of Benoit, just watch the match. It's phenomenal. All guys, Triple H plays the perfect heel. And you also root for Shawn Michaels the whole time, too. It's hard because you don't want to see him lose,
yep.
But you want to see him get the moment. So, great dichotomy, great match. Now, let's move on to final thoughts and a final rating so our loyal legions of fans can turn on SmackDown.
And I could go back to making chocolate.
It's always about you.
Yeah.
Clintus, what are your final thoughts on this pay-per-view, and what would you rate it?
I thought it was a long, very long pay-per-view. Let's put it that way. That's the downfall of WrestleMania 20. This is too long. Some matches are just better off not being on there. My rating for it, I will give it a 9 out of 10.
All righty. Stevie, final thoughts and rating.
I thought overall, I think it was a good pay-per-view. So I'd probably give it a 9 out of 10.
All right. Eric, 31?
No.
Eric?
No. I thought it was a good pay-per-view. I loved it. I thought it was one of my favorite, part of my top three. Same WrestleMania as well as time. So I give it a 9.5. As Clint said, it was too long. But it was still good. I give it a 9.5.
He would give it a 10 if women weren't involved.
I'm going to give it a 9.5 as well. Because I thought this was a great pay-per-view. This is everything I love about the Ruthless Aggression era. Yeah, there's a couple duds, but it had something for everybody. It had a great story in Christian and Chris Jericho. It had the rise of John Cena. It had some good cruiserweight action. You even had the, you know, Battle of the Titans with Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. Even though it sucked, but still, it was there. You had Angle and Eddie in a wrestling masterclass, and you had the triple threat underdog, you know, great moment of Benoit winning. And you even had you even had me, Gene, and Bobby Heenan, you know, tongue and moolah and man. So you had everything. So you
yeah, we skipped that part, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, we were afraid since women were involved, you were going to shit on that, too.
You're trying to paint a narrative here, Doug. All right, before we go home...
I'm trying to get myself vindicated is what I'm trying to fucking do.
Don't say a word if you don't know what it means. You can't spell.
Well.
Give us your thoughts and review to send us home here.
First of all, I do feel vindication because I'm not the one talking shit about women for once.
I'm not talking... I praise Trish Stratus.
Oh, she's hot.
All right, so my final thoughts are, it was a really good pay-per-view, but I actually will agree with Clinith, and Lord help me, I'm agreeing with Eric. It was too long. Like, 4.5 hours for a wrestling show is just it. It's a long time to invest.
We have to.
Yo, yeah. But I would give it a 9 out of 10 because there was a lot of stuff on the show that I liked, a lot of the stuff on the show that I wasn't necessarily a fan of, but it was still a good show.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that was our WrestleMania 20 retrospective. Next week, we're going to be doing our top 10 WrestleMania matches of all time, along with the fan vote and all that.
Yeah.
Tune into that.
That should be fun.
Scaredy Cats, tomorrow's Doug's history lesson on the figures and the toys.
Which there's going to be a lot to, there's going to be a lot to get into on that front, because WWE toys go all the way back to 1984.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So,
well, you answered my first question. So, oh well.
So, and we're going to be covering everything. We're going to be covering LJN. Oh, holy mother of God! LJN, Hasbro, Just Toys, Jax, Mattel.
Wow.
We'll cover the Tonka Wrestling Buddies. We'll cover all the other, you know, stuff that they did, you know, the kind of secondary toys that they did when they, you know, came out with their toy cars and all that. And the little, there's a bunch of stuff to get into. I'll cover it all tomorrow in a 2-hour span, which is going to be difficult. We can do it.
All right. We will see everybody next week. Thank you for joining us, and have a good one, guys.
All right, we'll see everybody tomorrow. All
right, good night. Good night.
Later.
See you tomorrow, Doug.